So this is the audio that goes with Perfect 10 versus Amazon, the fair use analysis, essentially the defense to the violation of the right to copy and right to make a derivative work. So a reminder about Perfect 10 versus Amazon, the alleged infringement here is actually by Google, particularly Google Images. And Perfect 10's big beef is this ability for Google Images to provide these thumbnail versions of images that might have been found on Perfect 10's website, may have been found in other places too as well. And these are unauthorized copy of First 10's pictures of its models. And Perfect 10 is trying to create a market for these thumbnail-sized images so people can view these on their phones. And so we had talked about right to distribute and right to public display. There, the Ninth Circuit found no infringement for both of those. So what about right to make a copy and right to make a derivative work? I think it's much tougher to argue that Google doesn't do both of these, right? They make copies. That's just the way the internet works and the way these image sites work. I've got to make a copy to display them to you. And I make a derivative work because I make a smaller version. It's a lower resolution, smaller footprint version of the picture that might have appeared on the original site. And so the defense that Google sets forth in this case, for this part of the case, is that the infringement is fair use, right? And the reason it's fair use is because it's highly transformative in nature, but not transformative in the way that Google's adding a lot of information to this, but transformative in the fact that it's very distributive. And so let's think about the four factors, but in the context of Amazon, Perfect 10 versus Amazon. So what about factor one, the purpose and character of the use? And so we think about the factors we typically look at here. How much does Google add to the work? In some ways, Google's copy is perfect, right? Not to play on the phraseology Perfect 10, right? But it's perfect in that for Google to provide a good service to those who are using Google Images, we want the image to look exactly the same. And it would be tough to say that Google's use is also not commercial, right? Because Google is getting ad revenue, et cetera. But Google's push is that their use of thumbnails is really transformative. Not transformative in the parody way we saw in Campbell, where they're making a critique on it or adding a lot to the original work. It's transformative in this distributive way. That is, what Google's doing is it needs to make copies so that everybody can find these works. And people wouldn't be able to get their hands on and see this expression unless it made the copies that it's making. And the court buys it. And this is really big for Google, not just in this context, but in general, to think about Google's infringement that occurs because of all the copying that it has to do just to get its search engines working. And so the court says, you know what, we think this is transformative and highly transformative. And it's significant because it's not transformative in the way that we typically think, where we're either adding new content or we're making commentary on the underlying copyrighted work. It's transformative because it's very distributive. And so then we've got that factor pushing heavily toward fair use. So what about number two, the nature of the copyrighted work? Here we've got pictures that are typically sit at the kind of core of copyright law. The district court finds these the only weigh slightly in Perfect 10's favor. It seems like it would should weigh fairly strongly like any other kind of core copyrighted work. What about the amount of substantiality of the portion used? Here, the thought would be it would push again in Perfect 10's favor against fair use because Google's making a copy of everything. Now, the pushback here almost seems to be the same pushback we see with parody in that we've got to copy everything to get the transformative nature that we talk about under factor one, right? So with Campbell, it was the transformative nature of needing to make a commentary on the original underlying work. Here it would be the transformative nature of it being distributive. That means I've got to make a full copy if I'm really going to distribute this work to a lot of people. And so that's the reason why the court says that this factor doesn't favor either party, although technically it should favor Perfect 10. It's a push. And finally, the effect of the use on the market. Here the court says, look, it doesn't directly impact Perfect 10's sale of magazines or their full-size images. And it only hypothetically impacts this a secondary market for sale of thumbnail images, which Perfect 10 hasn't established. So this is a question of whether we think this is a legitimate potential market. Now, I think the pushback from Perfect 10 is that it's not a hypothetical, that there's a real market for this because people have these smaller screens that need smaller size images, and this would have a real impact on the market. But the court ends up saying that, you know what, this factor four is fairly weak because it's only a hypothetical. I think in some ways critiquing whether we really think this is a potential market for the copyrighted work or not. And so when you combine that with factor one, where we have this highly transformative but distributive nature of the work, we find fair use. Underlying this, and this is the same, I think if we went back and talked about why the court finds no distributive right infringement or public display right infringement, is that if we find this not to be fair use, this type of copying, and not provide a lot of push of value in the distributive nature of Google's copying to allow for indexing and search, etc., I think the court's concerned what the implications would be, because the implications would be either that Google would need to get permission from everything it ever copies, which you can only imagine how impossible that would be. And if it didn't, it would have to say, well, I'm only going to display search results for people who have given me permission to make copies, right? Or we'll have to pay people for permission, and that means people will have to pay for search, and it gets this kind of big implications for access to the internet, et cetera. And this is why I think the Ninth Circuit ends up finding there to be fair use here, because if we don't find fair use, the alternative leads to a very different place for the internet and the world. Maybe it's a better place. I don't know. That certainly is a character on is something that's on the court's mind. And the implications of this case is that we now see with factor one a new type of transformation, and it's distributive transformation, not transformation. Because I've added to the work or critiqued the work, it's because I've helped get the work out there to others. And really only Google has kind of taken advantage of that transformative nature, but you could see potentially others take advantage of it to argue that there's some kind of fair use defense in that particular case.